Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens, it's two old queens, they're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens, it's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I'm so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
She's a comedian, writer, and actor who you've seen at College Humor, Dropout TV, Dimension 20, The Tiny Heist, and she's also co-host of the podcast Erotic Book Club. It's Jessica Ross.
Yay. Hello. Woo. Woo.
We just got off Jurassic Park, the ride.
Woo! I'm all wet.
Worth it. It's worth it. It's when you dry out as you walk around.
Yeah, the updates are worth it.
The updates are worth it. I haven't been on it since they updated.
I watched a video of it online. Me and my fiance have been watching YouTube videos of amusement park rides.
Sure. Same.
Yeah.
Ride-throughs.
Any favorites?
Well, we watched this one account where they go to all the ones in Tokyo, and I would love to go to Tokyo Disney. So those have been my favorite. And he like eats all the food, and they're so freaking cute.
That's fun.
It's so fun.
I watched the ride through. Have I mentioned the Mario Kart ride in Nintendo Land?
Yes.
Not. How is it?
It's very disappointing.
Oh no.
It's just like a dark ride. Like it moves as fast as like Snow White's at Scary Adventure, but you're just wearing goggles that like project so it looks like there's Mario Kart characters in front of you. But also if you're in the back seat, a Mario Kart person will be on the back of the head of the person in front of you.
And
it just doesn't look exciting. It looks like, oh, they made this ride for little kids. Can you imagine?
How dare they?
I thought it was going to be like fast
or something. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like fast, like Cars Land or something. You know, like you would think Mario Kart.
When my friends went to Tokyo, they did a go-kart ride like in the streets of Tokyo and got to dress up as Mario Kart characters.
Oh my God.
And I think that they shut it down because it seemed very dangerous and maybe illegal.
In the streets of Tokyo. Okay.
Yeah. But they seem to have a good time.
How do you not? I would hope you do it and you're having a good time.
Yeah.
I mean,
imagine going
point?
Through all that and being like, oh, it was all right.
This is for kids.
It was backed up.
Right. Are you a fan of maybe Euro Disney or France, French people, Paris in general? Have you ever been?
I've never been. I've only been to our Disneys. I'm not very cultured. Yeah.
Sure.
Unfortunately.
That's okay.
Have you?
It's okay. I was in Paris a couple of years ago with my husband and his family, and we were supposed to go to Euro Disney, but my husband was sick, so we didn't.
Aww.
We were supposed to go. So I guess we have to go back to Paris soon.
Have to.
Because we have been to... Of all the Disneys, in addition to the Disney World and Disneyland, we've also been to Hong Kong Disney.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know that.
We were doing some weird gig with Improv Everywhere in Hong Kong. So we did Hong Kong Disney one day. That's the smallest, I think, of all the parks. Like we did that in half a day and we were like, we did everything.
It's like their Universal Studios.
Yeah, I guess
size.
So. What's also funny
too,
it's because
that size,
right? It's like
then you can do it all. I feel like I got my money's worth. I did everything.
You did it in the day. You didn't feel like the day was tense of running from one place to another.
Yeah,
that's how John likes to do Disneyland.
Yeah, just
we
like,
are
running from
place to thing.
Mark likes to take a nap between every ride.
Love a nap. Lolly, I'm the lollygagger of the group.
Have a turkey leg.
I have like 7 turkey legs a day. I'm taking my time.
Yep.
Clam chowder and a bread bowl.
He's got quite a bow necklace when it's all over.
Chowder.
But have you, so you haven't been to France? Just
no, I have not. I've been to Italy and London.
Yeah. I'm just trying to steer us towards
culture.
Do you have an affinity for like, would you like, you know?
Do you love a baguette?
How do you feel?
I do. Brie? I'm a big bread fan. I love brie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to go to Paris.
A dinner could be a baguette, brie and honey.
You got to go.
I bought soup the other day. I was like, oh, it'd be nice to have like a little bread with it. So I got like one of those demi baguettes and I was like, put it in the oven, warmed it up. And I was like, well, I can't like keep just half of it. I want to, you know, I guess
of
I have
course,
to eat the
yeah.
whole thing now.
Yeah. Demi in French means
yeah.
for one person
for
to
one.
Eat.
Yeah.
The whole
oh,
thing?
Really?
Yeah.
I felt so guilty.
No. Don't feel baguette shame ever.
All right. John, what was Paris like?
It was everything the poets write about. It was absolutely beautiful. The bread was incredible. I don't know how they do it. I don't know why it's so much better, but it is. I think the streets, one thing that I noticed were there, I think the streets are wider. So you can really take in the architecture and sort of like the romance of it. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like in New York, the streets are so narrow that you just sort of like shoot your head up and you're like, oh, wow, these buildings are tall, but you can't actually get a sense of the texture, like the style or any of the architecture of the buildings. Where
to take
Paris,
it in.
It felt like you really could take it in. It did feel more like a postcard in that way, which is very smart of the designers.
We want people to appreciate these buildings.
Exactly. There's just be more open air going about it.
Did you do any of those like cafes where you like sit outside and like have like wine and
of course
cheese?
And, like, smoke a cigarette and just
did you Ooh. Smoke a cigarette?
I did not smoke a cigarette. I'm not a cigarette smoker, but I did take home one of their little ashtrays because their ashtrays are like small and cute. So I have
sure.
a Parisian ashtray in my apartment in LA,
Aww.
Which hopefully isn't haunted. Yes.
By ghosts of dead cigarettes?
Exactly.
If you just hear coughing in the middle of the night, you'll know what that
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Tout à l'heure. Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of the French, today nice. We are talking about the fifth element. John, what's the deal with the fifth element?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with the fifth element. It was directed by Luc Besson. Is that all right? Let's just
yes.
say that.
Yeah.
All right. Directed by
nice
Luc
way
Besson.
To do the research ahead of time.
Thank you. Co-written by Besson and Robert Mark Kamen, primarily set in the 23rd century. Corbin Dallas is a New York City cabbie who finds the fate of the world in his hands when Lilo falls into his cab. As the embodiment of the fifth element, Lilo needs to combine with the other four elements to keep the approaching great evil from destroying the world. Together with Father Vito Cornelius and zany broadcaster Ruby Rod, Dallas must race against time and the wicked industrialist Zorg to save humanity. All right. It stars Bruce Willis, Gary Oldman, Ian Holm, Chris Tucker, and Mila Jovovich. It was released on May 9th, 1997, and went on to make $264 million off a budget of $90 million. Roger Ebert gave the film 3 out of 4 stars, calling it one of the great goofy movies, concluding, "I would not have missed seeing this film, and I recommend it for the richness of imagery. But at 127 minutes, which seems a reasonable length, it plays long." Todd McCarthy of Variety, however, called it a largely misfired European attempt to make an American-style sci-fi spectacular. The fifth element consists of a hodgepodge of elements that don't comfortably coalesce. It was nominated for Best Sound Editing at the 70th Academy Awards, and Mila Jovovich and Chris Tucker were nominated for Golden Raspberry Awards for their performances. And that is the deal with the fifth element.
Well, I saw your jaw drop when you mentioned those Golden Raspberries.
How dare they?
Wait, is it raspberry isn't a Razzie, right?
They're the same thing, yeah.
I think it is. It's like Academy Award is an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane to me.
Well,
don't
we asked you.
That's insane?
Well, let's get into it. We asked you to pick a movie. Why The Fifth Element?
So The Fifth Element, I have loved since I was a kid, and I feel like has held up in every viewing that I've had of it. And in particular, those two characters just really struck a chord with me. I thought... Lilou Milojevic was so beautiful. I loved all of her outfits. I thought that I loved that she was like badass, but also really sweet and cute. And then Chris Tucker is absolutely incredible in it. To hear those two characters in particular called out for Razzies, I think that is insane to me.
Well, it speaks to like how, you know, shallow the Golden Raspberry Awards are. Yes. They just don't get it.
I was truly watching it the other night and was like, these are two of the greatest performances I've ever seen. I love this movie. It's I like that it has a little bit of everything. It's funny. It's action. It's sci-fi. It's over the top. It's all the things that I like in a movie.
How many times have you seen it?
I mean, it was one of those movies where if it was on, it would like come on TV a bunch. And anytime it was on, I would watch it. So I've definitely seen bits and pieces of it dozens of times, but maybe sat down and watched it like 4 or 5 times.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So John, what's your, how far back do you go with The Fifth Element?
I go back maybe 24 hours right now with The Fifth Element. I haven't seen it before.
Oh, wow.
I'd heard of it. People, listeners have recommended it and suggested it a lot for this podcast. So I was excited to watch it. I agree. I am surprised because for me, I thought it was kind of a hodgepodge, like, okay. But when Chris Tucker showed up, I was like, this is a whole new movie. This movie's coming alive now. Like it really,
yeah.
And it was funny. I was watching with my husband and he hadn't watched it either. And in my mind, I was like, I know Chris Tucker. I knew Chris Tucker and I knew the opera aria. Like, those are things that people like. You got to see for those things.
Yeah.
And it was about halfway through the movie when we paused for like to go to the bathroom for a second. And I was like, and I went, wait a minute. Isn't Chris Tucker supposed to be in this? Like, because he doesn't show up till really late in the movie. But man, when he shows up, it is like a whole new burst of energy. And it really like comes alive and became so much more fun and interesting to me. So it is surprising to me that people are, I mean, I guess it's not that surprising that people are so galvanized about his performance, but I thought it was so great. It does surprise me that people didn't like it. How about you, Mark? What do you bring?
So you liked, I'm shocked that you liked it, John. I thought for sure you were going to hate it.
I wouldn't say I hate it. I mean, I think it is sort of like it felt at times like a canon movie where they were like, here, just
we'll
just put them together. But it is visually fun to look at. It doesn't always make sense. And it's kind of like a mess.
Right. No one's watching this for the plot.
Exactly.
The
fun parts, it was so much easier for me to surrender and just enjoy the fun parts of it.
Yeah. I remember seeing like a newspaper ad for it. And it was just like that shot of like the flying cop cars in the city street. And I was like, oh my God, this looks incredible. They did it. They've nailed flying cars. They look amazing. I was like so excited for the special effects for it. And then you watch it, you're like, oh, it's so like goofy. Like it's not this like edgy, like Total Recall, like serious, you know, super violent thing. It's like such a goofy, dumb movie, but in the best way. And I don't think it was ever boring. Like I think this is one of the rare cases I checked to see what time we were at in the movie, and it was 1 hour and 15 minutes. Normally I do 20. It and it's 20 minutes. It's like, oh God.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I thought it really held up, especially like the visuals and everything are just like so, especially because it's like a lot of CGI. So it's just in that nice sweet spot of like, they use a little bit of CGI to enhance, but everything, like all the effects look great. Especially those flying cars are amazing.
I think because it is like, as you're saying, like funny and silly and stylized in a way. So it almost doesn't have to look like hyper realistic like gritty like other things. That doesn't, because then your eye is like, well, I know that's not real. But this, we live in like, kind of a crazy cartoon world.
And I love a modular apartment.
Things I liked his apartment too.
Well, Jessica, sounds like we all are fans of it. John's a super fan. All fun.
Ooh. Yeah,
nice to hear. Mm-hmm. So Jess, as you may or may not know, but I think you might, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a bunch of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category that will be added to the wheel. Does that make sense right now? No, but it'll be. Oh, it does. Okay, great.
Yes, yes.
Wow. She knows what wheels are. All right. You've heard of wheels.
Yeah, round.
Yeah.
That's the one. So this is our current ranking of the top 5 gayest movies ever. So in 5th place with an 89.03%, The Wizard of Oz. In 4th place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In 3rd place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In 2nd place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And in 1st place, seemingly unbeatable with a 94.83%, Female Trouble.
Aww.
So if you had to guess right now, how well do you think The Fifth Element is going to do?
I think, I don't think it will be as gay as any of those movies, but for the sci-fi action drama, it may be the gayest sci-fi action movie there is.
I think that's fair. I think that's a strong case.
Are there any other big sci-fi action dramas in our top 20?
Not in our top 20. I thought you meant in existence. I was thinking.
Are there any other sci-fi movies in existence?
I guess like maybe The Lost Boys is like, that's like horror.
Like horror, yeah.
No, the closest thing to sci-fi would be like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is like aliens at the end.
Gotcha.
But is that really a sci-fi? I don't think of that as like a sci-fi. Not really. Like, we'll see. We'll see. So for the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for each of these, we're going to give it a score between 0 and 100, and we take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category in the canon categories is for The Fifth Element. Jessica, how would you rate it on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
I would rate it,
I mean, we got Chris Tucker. Do we think his character's gay?
I don't know. I think he's more like, I mean, he's definitely probably just like pansexual. I got the sense.
There is one point when he's going down on that one lady and he says, I never say this to any human, not to any woman. Or like, right? So I assume that he's bi. I assume everyone's bi until I'm told otherwise. So.
That's a pretty smart way
to approach
life.
And his whole crew is very gay.
Yeah.
Definitely
like
Zorg's
handlers.
Guards were gay.
Yes, mm-hmm. In the short shorts with like the
I loved
the
that.
Purple like plastic like caps. Yeah.
A lot of the crews were gay, so but maybe not as many like main characters. So I'm gonna say 50%.
50.
Let's see. What do we think? Like, do we think Ian Holm? Did he have any?
No, he didn't. No, he felt like so priestly to me. Which normally you would think that would be a case in my favor,
you know. It's not an argument against, let's say that.
Well, I would say because him and his like little assistant.
Right.
But
that they have something going on. They seem pretty like just of the church.
By the book. We're trying to present the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty low, but it does feel like a sort of pansexual world.
Also, that character, Baby Ray. He's wearing like
Baby Ray.
He was the guy like in the lace, like white with the, like the white poof. Hair,
oh,
was like,
yes.
Throw me the gun, and he threw two like billiard balls.
And then he was like, right. Yeah,
I helped.
I'll go 45.
45. I think like looking at that cruise ship audience, I would say it's safe to say about 50% of those people have got to be queer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Once we get to the cruise, the movie gets a lot gayer.
Also,
sure.
Once you're dressed by Jean-Paul Gaultier, I feel it automatically makes you, you're open. You know, you're like.
I read he made every single one and he would check every single one like before they would go on set. I think they said there were like 900 outfits. Yeah.
It's amazing. And it shows. Well, it's got an average of 48.33, which is 8.33 points higher than the Ten Commandments in actual gay characters.
Oh.
Pretty good. All right. Next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch The Fifth Element and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Oh, I would. I think 98%. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to give 100.
There's been a lot. I know Lilu is just like a huge
inspiration. Both of her looks.
Both. She's got two.
That strap, that little...
The bandage dress.
Yeah.
Bandage
even Bruce dress. Willis's little, like, back shirt thing.
Oh, yeah. He looked like he was, like, coming that. Back in from a night at the Limelight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... I'll go 99.
99. What's keeping it from 100? What about those McDonald's waitresses?
Oh, I loved them.
Drag queens love a McDonald's waitress, yes.
But you could do that, you know?
You could, yeah.
That would be a great, cosplay drag look.
I think it's definitely 100. Like, almost every single look in here is like, it's also Jean-Paul Gaultier. It's incredible.
Yeah, the flight attendants with, like, their little booby cups. The,
right.
Peek-a-boob, would we say?
You could say that, yeah.
And the diva.
Oh,
Diva's great.
Yeah.
And she's even got a bit of a reveal. We see her in her, you know, shroud.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Both of Ruby Rod's looks, obviously the leopard print onesie and then the roses.
The floral, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also giving it 100. So thanks to John, it only has a 99.67.
Oh, I ruined everything.
Angry letters to him.
Mm-hmm.
which is about 80 points higher than I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. That's pretty good.
There we go.
Oh, no. You guys had to watch that?
We did. It was rough.
All right.
All right. Our next category, gay icons. Are there any gay icons in the Fifth Element?
I mean, Jean Paul Gaultier, just costumes by Jean Paul Gaultier, I think, is a gay icon.
Yeah.
Remember his, that perfume, the cologne he had that was like just a torso?
Yeah.
Did you ever have that, John?
Hey, Mila Jovovich is very like lesbian icon.
I think so.
She has something there.
Resident Evil movies.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
She's done 24 of those.
All 24 of them.
That's iconic. What about Luke Perry? I know he's only in the very first scene, but he did introduce Madonna's GLAAD Award to her.
Oh, well, who better?
Okay, then I guess I go to 100.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I always forget that he's in the movie. And then, yeah, you see his name and then he's right in the beginning for some reason. Yeah. It doesn't
not
tie
need to
into
be him
anything.
At all. Right. Yeah.
Maybe there's like there was some country when they sold this movie. Like, he's huge in Taiwan. Just put him on the poster. Right, yeah. They'll buy the movie.
Then teenage girls will come to this movie.
Right.
I think between Jean-Paul Gaultier and Mila Jovovich, I'm going to give it, what would that be? Because Jean-Paul Gaultier is all over everybody, though. So I'm going to give it a 50.
50.
I'm actually going to go, I think, 78.
78?
Wow.
So you would put Jean-Paul Gaultier above Meryl Streep in your rankings of gay icons.
I think Meryl Streep is, she's an icon, but she's not so much like a gay icon. I think like definitely gays love her, but it's not like gay icon isn't always what you put in front of icon with Meryl Streep.
What do you do? Acting, crying icon? Making a choice icon?
Cinematic icon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dingo hater icon.
I almost suggested Mamma Mia, which is my fiance's favorite movie.
Oh my God.
And maybe I've seen that one about 10 times now. Whenever there's downtime, it's like, let's just put on Mamma Mia.
What do you think about the second one?
The second, you know, it's there. We watched that one too.
Not as big of a fan as the second one. All right.
I mean, they're both equally stupid. I mean, just sing the same songs as the first one. It doesn't matter. I appreciate it.
I mean,
that,
it's a great song. Yeah.
Yeah. The songs are so good.
I have to agree. I think I like the second Mamma Mia more.
Really?
Because it's dumber.
It's goofier. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
dumber, yeah.
It's more fun. And Fernando? And then
the sheriff and all?
Yeah.
That is true. All right.
It's not as good of a movie. Like the first one is good because like Meryl Streep is like actually like, oh, being great in this. And like there's real like moments of drama. And like the second one, the drama is like, Breeze knocked over an umbrella. What do we do?
All right.
That's about it.
Another song. Yeah.
I'm going to give it 65, giving it an average of 64, which is 1 point less than The Sound of Music. You know, that's okay. It's good company. All right, next category, the male gaze. Now, we mean how horny is the camera for the male form? It's always horny for the female form.
I think it was horny for everybody. So
I mean, we got like Bruce Willis hanging out with his shirt off when he first wakes up.
Also, anyone being dressed, like Jean-Paul Gaultier knows how to like give men like a shape, which is very nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would
Luke
give
Perry
it
looks really hot in this.
Sure.
Looks very cute in the beginning. Yeah. My mind keeps going back to those men in those tight black pants and their little plastic hats.
The little shorts.
Yeah. That's someone who loves men.
Right. Also, that one alien, that Agnon in human form, was really hot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He looked like he'd been in a lot of bar fights.
Not that one. There's another one. The one before him.
When he like shakes his head and then he becomes. Yeah. And he says, not be yourself.
Is what a wonderful message.
What a wonderful message. Then he shoots at them.
Yeah. Never be yourself. Also, all the cruise ship crew, and they're a little like, I feel like that like stripe is like classic Jean-Paul Gaultier, like stripes.
Oh, that sort of sailor-y thing.
Yeah, the sailor look.
Yeah.
Did he do the clothes for O, Cirque du Soleil's O?
I don't know. He may have.
I don't know.
We don't know.
No way to know.
We don't know.
There's no way to know. So Jess, what would you give this for the male gaze?
I would say a 90.
A 90.
Yeah.
I think that yes, everyone looks sexy. I don't think like they linger too much on the men though. So I'll go 81.
81. Yeah, I'll go 80. Like, no one gets, like, there's no, like, equivalent to, like, Mila Jovovich. Like, she's, like, naked and, like, three. I forgot, like, this is PG-13.
I'm thinking that, too. I always forget how much you see her boobies in it.
Right.
I think because it's not, see, I don't see it as in a sexual way because she's always just, like, getting changed, I guess.
Right,
it feels
right.
like she's kind of just, like, doing.
Living her life.
Yeah, she's just living her life. I don't think it's meant to be, like.
A horny like, moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank for once.
For once.
Giving it an 83.67 in the male gaze. All right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
He's got a good one.
That right there. I mean, Mila has pretty big pizzazz. We meet her as she's like bondaged up and then slamming printed some dude's head. Like, yeah, yeah, it's 3D printed from, I guess, just a hand. I'm a always claw? Confused what yeah. they find of her.
It seemed like they just found her hand in the spaceship because they just
it was holding like the case. Arm.
Oh, okay.
It had like the handle case. Of the case because when we see the case again, it's missing one handle.
Yeah.
But then do all those aliens look like hot little like ladies inside?
Well, and she was like the fifth element inside the sarcophagus. She was like inside the sarcophagus. So I think all of the things were her.
I was wondering what was going on inside those guys, though.
I did love when they were like, run! And it's just like the most roly-poly.
Yeah, these weird
creatures.
Sort of like turtle duck creatures. Yeah.
You have spacious, but you don't have like, you know, a scooter you could be on. Like,
yeah. A little jazzy.
Yeah.
An all terrain kind of thing that you're, you don't
He's
need.
He's opening up his app trying to get it.
Yeah. It'll be here in 5 minutes. They put all that space. They put all their money in that spaceship. Also, the alien ship at the beginning has
a
great
spaceship
entrance.
Had a good entrance.
These shadows falls. The Eclipse of Evil Planet has a great one. The diva on the ship and in
the
show.
Oh yeah, there's so many great. I'm gonna give it a 90.
90.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 93. Especially 93. Like Chris Tucker, like he shows up and it's like a shot of adrenaline just hits the movie.
Yeah, and he's nonstop too. He's live casting whatever the entire time.
I'm also going to give it a 93. That sounds good to me. Giving an average of 92, which is about 71 points higher than Waiting for Guffman. Pretty good. Okay. All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. This is like feisty women who don't take no guff.
Oh, okay.
Lilu, I would say.
Lilu, I would say. I mean, I think this movie... doesn't have a lot of women is sort of the one thing I would ding it for.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the woman who checks them in as they're trying to pretend to be, I'm Bruce Willis's character. I've won this this contest.
Yeah, but she takes a little guff.
She Corbin does, Dallas. Yeah.
Corbin Dallas.
Corbin Dallas.
Do we? I was trying to see what kind of shoes Ruby Rod had. So I think he could also qualify for Hell on Heels.
I'm sure
that
he could.
That is true.
Do we ever
I imagine it's got to be heels that he's wearing.
I bet Chris Tucker's probably very short, so he was on actual Apple boxes, which is why we never saw his feet.
You think?
Oh.
That would be my guess for some reason.
I wouldn't think he was short. I think
he's 6'1", John.
Oh, then I am incorrect.
Wow. He's just skinny.
I just assumed he would topple over if he was that skinny and tall. A strong wind would just blow him over.
Yeah. So what do you want to get this for Hell on Heels? We could use feistier women, more women,
I
more
think
women.
So
would have been
even
nice.
More Lilu kind of like fighting, like a lot of the time she's like, like she only really gets that one kind of fight scene. So right. I would probably give this up, but the fight scene is fun. Maybe a 45.
45.
Yeah, I'll go 55.
55. John, you got to watch Resident Evil Retribution or Afterlife or Aftermath or
okay, I'll watch all of them right after this. Yeah.
if you want to see Mila Jovovich kick ass in like too much CGI, this is the movie for you.
I've been talking about wanting to do that for months now. And then now you're finally bringing this up.
You've been talking about doing the Resident Evil series?
No, about wanting to see Mila Jovovich kick ass in a CGI way.
This is true. I forgot to mention these movies. It's got a 50 in Hell on Heels. Pretty good. All right. Next category, macabre. How macabre is the fifth element?
I mean, there's ways in which what it's talking about is macabre, about like this evil comes, this ultimate evil and all this stuff. But it's played very cartoony and very bright.
Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the overall message is like love conquers all. So yeah, it feels like it's pretty, maybe
That's sort of macabre at the end where like right before she's about to like save the world, she watches this montage of war and like humans being terrible to each other. So in that way, it gets a little macabre of like, what is the point of saving humanity? If this is what
we're
doing. I mean, is she wrong?
Although that part always confused me because I'm like, was there no like Nazi in N or no? Like you are at the W of the alphabet.
Massacres,
you didn't see any atomic bomb.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that just pulled it all together.
Yeah. It's like, oh, bad.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah. I remember being a kid and being very scared when like the kind of barbecue sauce looking thing went down Gary Oldman's face.
That was so weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really dramatic, but yeah.
It was very dramatic. Why did it happen? I thought maybe like his plastic cap was too tight or something.
That's what I wondered.
Plastic cap. I think the evil entity was pushing on his, psychically.
Was he just so stressfully sweating blood?
Pushing on his brain, because there was another time when somebody was like bleeding it or something out their nose. The very first time they meet, they bleed the barbecue sauce.
Oh,
I think this is very macabre though.
I did like there's a point where a skull comes out of the planet and like a plume of fire. You know,
yes,
I thought that was very fun. It looked like something you would see like on a screen at like a Motley Crue show.
Yeah, like a Ghost Rider. Yeah.
Girl. apartment buildings with built-in police sirens, I thought was kind of macabre. I don't want to live there. Why are you
sirens? Yeah. This world is very over-policed is something that recognized this time around. They were ready to shoot him just for a traffic violation or something.
Yeah.
Or car thief. I was like, you can't kill someone just because they stole a car.
Wouldn't be the first time. Also, living in an apartment where you have like circles where you're supposed to put your hands when the cops come.
Yeah.
And that better be cheap rent.
Yeah. Although I do love that the food would come to you and cook it
right
there.
That was nice.
How amazing is that?
That's the evolution of Postmates, I think.
I hope so.
You heard a table side guacamole, apartment side guacamole. I do miss a table side guacamole.
They're coming.
Go to El Cholo in on Western. They do a great one.
Ooh,
a performance.
I'm gonna give this a 30 for macabre.
30.
I think it's very macabre.
Yeah, I'll go 33.
I don't know. I'll go 35 because he also kisses Lilu when she's sleeping, and I did not like that.
Oh yeah, she did tell him.
He had to learn.
She said, "Not without my permission."
Mm-hmm. Good for you, Lilu.
Good for you, Lilu.
Well, she read C for consent in the beginning. She got through that. She knew that. All right, our next category: dramatic lighting. I think it's pretty dramatic all the way through.
I think so too. Yeah. They even had that like skating rink, bowling alley at midnight, like neon light.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
They had the dramatic lighting during the opera performance.
Yes.
Right.
There's like a really beautiful sunset.
I like a lot of the gold mirror as a light source, like in the opening, like Aziz light, that whole thing.
Yeah, that was very clever.
I don't know why they needed to do that, but I appreciate it. Because you could probably only do that for like an hour or so, I would think, before the sun moves. But it was
Well, that's why it was like he would adjust to go with the sun.
I know. It was just weird. Like, just light a torch.
You saying gold made me think of that like first room that she's into and she's able to like jump right through it, but it looks like it's made of like tinfoil.
Oh, yes. She's like inside a Jiffy Pop.
Like, what is this room?
How could she have escaped from our tinfoil room? She just dove right through.
I think this has very dramatic lighting. I would give it an 82.
82, definitive.
I will also give it an 82.
You know what? That sounds right to me. I'm also going to give it an 82. Give it an average of 82.
Yeah.
Which is 32 points higher than Eat, Pray, Love. Oh, Eat Shit, Love, more like it.
Yep. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Finally, it took me 8 weeks to figure that. Our next category, vibrato.
So in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment, they give you a little extra, they sort of zhuzh it up, give it more than it needs, but you like it.
I think this movie is nothing but that. Yeah, it's nonstop. Is there higher than 100?
No. Mark won't let you use it.
Not in percentages for our purposes. The whole movie is filled with, like, do we need Bruce Willis's mother calling? No, but it's funny.
It just sounds
like Linda Richman. Like, do Mike Myers doing Linda Richman.
Absolutely. And the aforementioned barbecue sauce dripping down the face.
Yeah.
That's very...
The calls from his mom come so late into the movie, too. At first, I was like, when is his mom going to call?
Right.
Because I knew that it was like a runner throughout. Yeah, I mean, anything Chris Tucker says and does.
Right. Literal aria. So there's literal, I mean, there's literal vibrato with the aria.
Yeah. Yeah, I give it 100.
100.
Yeah, I'll go 100, too. It's all, this movie's all about doing extra.
It's the fifth extra.
Definitely.
Mm. Definitely. Giving it 100, tying it with The Wizard of Oz, The Sound of Music, and The Apple. What good company.
There you go.
All right, our next category, footwork.
Like dancing?
Could be dancing. The weird way those creatures walked, as we talked about, that's some fun footwork going on right there.
Oh, okay.
There's a fight scene with Leeloo beating everybody up. And then the diva has her like weird like dance.
That's her arm work, really. I don't think with that costume she can move very much.
That had to be a very heavy headpiece she had on.
Like, this is all you're getting. I'll do some like thrusts.
I read that she was the director's wife. And then in that same year, he ended up getting divorced and marrying Mila Jovovich.
Wow.
Wow.
So she was probably in 20 hours of makeup.
Yeah. I also read that she was originally not cast, but whoever they had cast, the actress just didn't show up. So he had.
Oh, really?
So maybe if she hadn't been in the makeup chair all that time, the director
been
talking to Mila.
But look at her. She's like, oh, I'll help out my husband and wear this uncomfortable thing, learn this song, lip sync it. Mm-hmm. And this is the thanks I get.
Divorce.
Typical man. Typical man.
Footwork, I think maybe a 70.
Yeah, there's not a ton that's recognizable. So I'll go 50.
What do you mean recognizable?
Well, there's not like that great chase sequence or that, you know, like really big thing. The fights are mostly just upper bodies.
Are like pretty good. That thing.
Yeah, but that's not footwork.
Put on the gas.
Foot on the gas.
Okay, sure.
And it's choreography. Someone had to choreograph that whole sequence.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But this is, again, the category is footwork, not choreography.
Isn't that kind of what we're doing, though? We play fast and loose before.
Sure.
But not this time, apparently. Okay. I'm going to give it.
Play it however you want.
I'm going to give it a 60 in footwork. Give it an average of 60, which is 38 points lower than I, Tonya, which has a 98.67.
That seems fair.
That's fair.
How could that not be 100?
It's not 100 because John was the only one who gave it 100. The guests gave it 99. I gave it 97. So,
okay.
There you go. Next area, spank bank deposits. Anything we're putting away in the old spank bank?
I mean, Bruce Willis does look good, but I wouldn't say it's his best looking performance.
No, but there are a lot of hunks just like sprinkled throughout.
Yes. A lot of beefcake in this movie.
I mean, I was definitely awakened some things in this movie by Mila Jovovich and Chris Tucker. Yeah,
yes.
Both. So, but I don't know if I spanked it. I just...
You didn't go to the bank.
Okay. As long as you deposited, you didn't have to withdraw it.
I mean, Mila Jovovich is very, very hot in the movie.
Yeah.
But she's also like kind of too sweet and childlike maybe to want to spank.
She's kind of like a manic pixie dream girl-ish kind of.
A bit, yeah.
A bit, yeah. She is like a child, though. She's like, well, how do things work? I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she could have been a 5-year-old and the movie would have been the same, except for hopefully the ending, end making out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. I do like that ending scene. I would give it a 30 on this bank.
30.
Yeah, I'll go 30 as well.
30 as well.
Actually, I am remembering that scene with Ruby Rod and the stewardess, which I thought was very
flight
hot.
Flight attendant, yeah.
Yeah.
when they like,
I'll give it 5 more points for that.
Going to 35.
Yes, I am.
And any scene with Ruby Rod has a definite queer energy to it.
Yeah.
Sure. I gave it 27. So it's got an average of 30.67, which is 0.67 points higher than The Princess Bride.
All right.
So this is hornier than The Princess Bride. I would hope so. All right. Our next category, Jessica, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Fifth Element to a gay person?
100%. I did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
People often forget that loophole. Don't use it. But it's right there. We're doing it right now.
I think it's a fun movie for everyone. Yeah, I love it. I would recommend it to anybody. And gay people in particular, because I think, yeah, that it's, I think it, for the genre that it is very gay.
It's also easy watching. You don't need, like, even if you're not a sci-fi fan, I think this movie's not really about that anyways. It's
yeah. More if about you like fashion, if you like silliness, mm-hmm. if you like a little bit of action, that I think it has something for everybody.
There's a tonal shift every 5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't like it, just hang tight.
Okay. But then it's also never takes itself too seriously, which is nice. It's never like ponderous or heavy.
True.
Yeah.
So 100.
I'll give it an 83.
83.
There's a lot that's fun in it, but it's still not like a great, great movie. But it has, it's a movie that has a lot of fun elements to it, I would say.
It's no Parasite, you're saying.
Exactly.
Well, not every movie needs to be a Parasite, John.
I didn't say it did.
I'll give it a 90. I do think this is kind of essential viewing. It's super fun. And also, like, it's a weird, like, great time capsule of the 90s. Like, the music especially, like, is so like, I remember when things sounded like this for a week.
Yeah.
Like this weird electro. And then, like, oh, there's also horns on this. All right, now we are into the aforementioned wheel category.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. We're going to spin it 4 times, and whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And then after those 4, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel.
See how
it works? Okay.
Have you seen any other Luc Besson movies?
What are some other ones? I might have
Leon the Professional. Is
oh, the yes. One. Yes. I love that one.
He did Madonna's Love Profusion video.
Ooh. Oh,
I don't know that one. Love Profusion?
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's off of American Life.
Oh, that's why I don't know it.
Okay. Here we go. The wheel, I think, is on your side. From Julie and Julia, aggressive haircuts.
Are there any aggressive haircuts in this movie? That one guy, when they're 3D printing Lilu, he has like his head is like shaved like in a band around.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse anti-flipped mohawk kind of thing. It's so crazy.
And he loves his job.
He's delighted by it.
He's delighted by his job. That's
why he wakes up in the morning.
We finally have a reason to use this 3D printer.
I know. I was like, how many people do they have to do this to?
Right? We're always 3D printing.
What is this?
Do we have enough ink for the 3D printer? I don't know. I mean, yeah, you got Mila Jovovich's hair is a very like aggressive, distinct style.
Gary Oldman's.
Gary Oldman
has
Chris
this
Tucker.
Plastic thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that Major Iceborg, what's her name? She had the Princess Leia hair buns.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
This movie is chock full of aggressive, distinctive haircuts.
It's
is
mostly.
Is this the first time we get a bleach blonde Bruce Willis?
He was that in The Jackal. I don't know if this was before or after. I don't know why I know this.
I think even, we know why you know this.
I've never even seen The Jackal. I just know it.
Mm-hmm.
This would get 100 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go 100 on this one. It's all crazy.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's aggressive, but we like it. We welcome it.
Exactly. Yes.
It's like a little chihuahua. Like, he's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Look at him thinking he's tough.
It's got 100. The last movie that got aggressive haircuts was The Beastmaster, and that only got a 60 in aggressive haircuts.
Oh.
Okay. The next category from Mermaids, Mark's favorite, Forbidden Love.
Forbidden Love.
Forbidden is there any forbidden?
I mean,
is the romance between Lilu and like Corbin? Everyone seems fine. No, they're encouraging it at the end.
Yeah.
Tell her.
They encourage it. I guess at the beginning, the priest tries to kind of get rid of him. but then he keeps coming back.
Oh, right. Right.
But I don't think that's for love.
It's not about love. Yeah.
Yeah. I think love is pretty bidden here. I think it's
very bidden. It's love. It's mostly bidden. Yeah. I don't think there's much forbidden love.
Yeah.
It's a very sex positive movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Is the mom at all like naggy about him seeing someone or not seeing someone? I'm just trying to remember.
She just seems to nag. Like, why aren't you calling me?
Yeah. 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 Why didn't you invite me on this cool cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah, no forbidden love. Really, everyone's telling him, go love her. The diva's like singing straight to him, like, you got to go love Lilu. Yeah.
Right.
I gotta give it a zero, I guess.
A zero. Tough but fair.
I'll give it a 10.
Four.
Because I think Gary Oldman's love of anarchy and money is wrong.
Is that forbidden or that seems like allowed by society though?
But I think we should forbid it.
But we don't.
But we should. Which is why I'm giving it a 10.
I don't know. I'll give it a 2. Giving an average of 4 in Forbidden Love. All for the better, though. In the world, this is great. I'm just trying to think if anyone else. Nope, we haven't had Forbidden Love in a long time.
Okay, here we go. This is another one you're going to do well in. From Beastmaster, Bondage.
Bondage.
Oh,
yeah, she's got that little bondage dress at the beginning.
The bandage dress.
Bandage dress.
Yeah,
there's one point
really
where Ian Holm is
look.
in handcuffs. Like people are,
yeah,
people a lot are, of people like, are locked captured, up and trapped, and captured, and trying to be arrested.
I'm trying to think of any other moment. It's her bondage dress.
You could even say when they go in those sleep chambers and when they're traveling, there's a sort of bondage in that.
Oh yeah, and then Ian Holm is also wrapped up in that plastic.
Oh yeah, when
yeah.
Your bed gets made. Mm-hmm.
That part always freaks me out. That would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
You were if that's how you died,
stuck
to
in
be
that
suffocated
right.
in a little IKEA bed thing.
No, thank you. And then did those people in the freezer die?
No, because you see them in the next scene. They've,
oh, because it's
they've,
so
they've thawed
when you
out.
First see it when they come out, like, oh, like... With, he just killed 3 people who were like on his side. Right.
I'll give it a 70 for Bondage.
70.
I'll give it a 78 for Bondage.
78. I don't think there's that much. I'll give it a 60.
Yeah.
Okay. Giving it a 69.33 in Bondage. Now it's wheel category 4. And then it will be your turn to come up with a category.
Oh my God.
Okay, here we go. From Raiders of the Lost Ark, Tan.
How tan,
tan
is,
it? Is this movie?
How tan are people in this movie?
How tan are people?
Tan, sweaty.
Definitely sweaty.
I mean, at the
sweat
beginning, like they're in
the...
Egypt, so like in the sun all the time, you're gonna just be tan.
Luke Perry was pretty tan.
Luke Perry's pretty tan.
Sweat plays into the one of the final getting water onto the little stone.
That's true.
That's true.
So that's a in very sweaty sweat. Moment.
That's pretty sweaty. I feel like a lot of people are sweaty.
I think it was a hot, yeah. Ruby Rod is all like. Disheveled at the end and
yeah.
sweaty. Is that what we mean by tan?
We're trying to be more inclusive.
Yes. Sure, yeah.
We're trying to open it up so it's not yes.
It's I'm, like hot, sweaty.
It's also French, so how tan can they be?
True.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. Lilu's pretty white.
Yeah, she's pretty pale.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty pale. For a tan, I mean, yeah, if tan is like hot and sweaty vibe, then I'd say it would be higher than just tan, like having a tan.
Yeah,
right.
So if we're going by just having
I think
a tan,
we are.
Yeah, then maybe.
Hot and sweaty, hot and sweaty, hot and sweaty.
Oh, hot and sweaty?
Hot and sweaty.
There's going some by pretty hot, sweaty moments, so I'm going to give it a 76.
76.
Sure, and one thing I will say, this isn't necessarily tan, but what I did appreciate about this movie, which I don't think was as popular then, it was like, well, yes, most of the main characters are white. Like, most of the world is populated by lots of non-white races, which I sort of appreciated and thought was like, oh, this feels very more better than you would than was probably typically happening at the time.
You're gonna love the cantina scene in Star Wars.
I can't wait to finally watch it. So yeah, I'll go 77 for Tan.
77. I'll go 70, giving an average of 74.33, which is 4 points lower than the 10 commandments. in How Tan Nice. Is It? All right, Jessica, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge The Fifth Element and every subsequent movie when it gets added to the wheel.
Oh, boy. Can it be if somebody goes down on someone?
Sure.
That's what I think I would like the category to be.
Does someone go down on someone?
So, all right.
Yeah, I think Ruby Rod does to the flight attendant. Yeah. And I always like when someone goes down on a woman in a movie. So I'd like that to continue to be a
representation.
Category. Yes, sure, representation sure. matters. Yeah.
So what would you give The Fifth Element in this category?
That scene, well, I guess it's not a super high scene. It's only the one. So I'd give it a 50.
A 50.
I think that's pretty iconic. And also, like, I remember thinking, because he went down and his hair had that weird, like, blonde loofah sticking up the front, that I was like, oh, I bet that's going to come in handy when he's going down on her. And then you also imagine the very...
How would it come in handy?
Just, you know, he's down there. He can do some choreography.
Like a loofah?
With the boobies, you put your boob in the little...
Oh, I see. Or I thought maybe she could have, like, dip in it or have a chip and dip while
Exactly, yeah.
Exfoliate.
That's tableside guacamole.
That's tableside guacamole, baby. Tonight, we're going to do a tableside guacamole. Just the two of us.
Do you consent to this tableside guacamole?
I like that her feet go down too, like as the plane goes down. That was good footwork. I didn't think of that.
That is true.
Damn. Yeah.
But I also imagine, you know, the very last scene where they're like, oh, the president wants to thank Lilo and Bruce Willis. And they're like, they're indisposed in the healing chamber, which means they're getting the fuck on. So I imagine there's someone going down on someone in that area. So I'll
that would be difficult in there.
Yeah, not a lot of headroom.
They're used to maneuvering in tight spaces in Fifth Element. I'll give it a 65.
Also, Bruce Willis does make the people in his apartment go down in the shower.
That's true.
In the refrigerator.
Wow. He does make them go. He does have pushes them. I don't know if that's quite. It's more.
But a few points. You know, I would like to change my score to 75.
Wow. John, I'll give it a 50. Giving it an average of 58.33. All right, now we are into the bonus category.
So these categories, as befitting their title, are bonus. So these are just extra points. So if any of the categories doesn't score well and it's not going to work against it, but then these are scored from 0 to 10.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is musical potential. How much potential do you think Fifth Element could be a musical?
10. I was going to say 100.
A 10.
Wouldn't you love to see a musical of this?
Of course.
I do. I think it would just be tough because of the space opera nature of it. But I also think with the right production. Yeah. I mean, a great high
right
end production
producer.
Of it. With the, you give Julie Taymor and a budget that she can't blow through, then yes.
Yeah. If anything, the Fifth Element has to have a low budget. That's the important thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a woman created from nothing, having to learn. It's like very My Fair Lady.
It is. Oh, it's My Fair Lady. Yes, it's futuristic.
My Fair Lady.
Lady.
Yeah.
She was the Fifth Element. Eliza Doolittle. I'll give it a 9 because I think there's a lot of big over the topness to it. A lot of fun visuals. It just is because of. I think action sequences are just hard to be satisfying in a musical.
You could all just have it all on the cruise ship too. Maybe the second act's all on the cruise ship.
That's true.
Love that. Yeah, we need more cruise ship.
I bet, like, I'm almost surprised that Gary Oldman's character doesn't break out into song in this movie. Like, it would not have been surprising if he just had, like, a song and dance number in the middle.
Sure.
Like, a Be Prepared style thing.
Exactly.
I'll give it a 8. I'll give it an average of 9. All right, next category, queer menace. Is there anyone who's, like, a queer menace that we love?
I think like Gary Oldman definitely has a like, queer energy, without a doubt. I mean, obviously that headpiece and all that. And
his iridescent suit. Yeah. I think that was the fabric I had when I like went to prom.
Oh, your lucky date. I hope we had a matching cummerbund.
Like the holographic kind of thing?
Yes, a little, yeah.
Couldn't that was like the color. Late 90s. Was that the late 90s?
That would have been
early
2000s. Yeah, early
2000s. That's about right. Yeah. I mean, that was a time for Metallics.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, Gary Oldman, for sure. I would give a 8.
Also, Ruby Rod has a queer menace.
Definitely queer energy and feels, even if it feels like a lot, like overwhelming.
Oh, an overwhelming. I'm whelmed. I'm not overwhelmed.
You're perfectly
I love
whelmed.
Everything.
Properly yep. whelmed. Gotcha. This is
I
just
can handle
right.
all of it. I want more of it. I would listen to
you
his
are bitten
show.
And whelmed. All of it. yeah. Between Garrett, I'll give it a 7.
7. I will also give it a 7. Give it an average of 7.33. All right. Next category: character actress makes a big swing.
Well, character actress. I mean, the opera diva, maybe.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for me, a big swing is Mila Jovovich was probably a model at this point. I don't even know if she was doing the Resident Evil movies. This might have been like her kind of
her
big,
audition, right?
Yeah, her audition for. But like, for a model to be like, I thought she was such a cute, funny character. But a character actress taking a swing, maybe not. Maybe I'd give it a 5 for that.
A 5.
Yeah, I think it's pretty low. I also think she's not really a character actor so much in this. I'll give it a 2.
2. I'll just have to give it a 1. So sorry to all those involved. Giving it a 2.67. All right, next one. Witches. How witchy is the fifth element? Well, the priests have kind of like a witchish.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that, like, she is the fifth element. They're sort of just stones and yada yada.
Yeah,
you
have the elements. That feels somewhat witchy to me.
So is the fifth element, like, love? Like, what is it that, I mean, because you have, like, earth, wind, fire, water.
Yeah, I think it's love.
It's love, baby.
It's love.
Nice. Okay.
Did you not know that, John?
All right.
You went to a public school, I guess.
Yeah.
See, I went to a Montessori, and they tell you the fifth element's love.
Oh,
I'd give it a 6 because of the stones for witchiness.
Artifacts.
Yeah.
Hieroglyphics, very witchy.
It's always weird when like someone keeps something hidden, but then they leave instructions. And they're like, these things can never be found. But here's how to find them if you need them. But let's hope they're never
found.
If you
really, really need them.
But if you're determined, if you can solve this puzzle.
Well, they weren't meant to be hidden until they were need. Like they said, like, you will need right. them. Yeah, I'll go 5 for witches.
5. I will also go 5. Give an average of 5.33, which is tying it with I, Tonya. And that has a horrible mother in it.
There you go, with the bird.
All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Now, I looked up every member of Ruby Rod's entourage. There was not much information. I couldn't really find anything.
Nothing on them anywhere.
They have no social media presence. Well, one of them does. He did have an Instagram, but it hadn't been updated in a while. And he did have a goatee that was dyed green. And I was like, okay. Could be a Burning Man kind of energy.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I mean, certainly none of the main ones are. A lot of the entourage you can assume. There's also that really awesome woman with like the shaved head and the really dark eyeshadow. Do you remember? Right. She was in the garbage
president?
Airport scene.
Oh, yeah. She was fun.
Yeah. She was, and then the lady in the green skirt too with like the see-through thong at the airport.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do.
I mean, there are a lot of extras in this.
Yeah,
book.
And we can make assumptions about these extras. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I guess you have to bonus, give it a 1 just for
a 1.
I'll give it a 1 for the implication as well.
1 for the implication. I will also give it a 1, giving an average of 1, which is about how most movies do. but it got better than The Beastmaster, which we gave a 0. All right.
I also don't think there are any gay roles in The Beastmaster.
That's true. But you got to figure someone's seen this opera on a cruise ship. There's got to be gays on there. Like, isn't every cruise a gay cruise?
Yeah,
I don't think so. But
I think they should be. You're on a cruise. It's gay. You're on a boat restaurant. It's gay.
All right.
All right, our next category. Themes of mothers. Well, I got Bruce Willis's mom.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not really a theme. It's more like a running joke. A runner, as we say in the biz.
That's true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was expecting her to show up somehow. There to be some sort of payoff with her. Like, you could cut it and you wouldn't be like, what about his mom?
Or she would be like an alien in a jar. That's my mom. You know, that's a brain. Wah,
wah. That's my mom.
Oh, my God. When are you going to clean my jar?
I like that you never see her. And I like that she gets on the phone with the president and then everybody passes her around.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
The comedy is so goofy in this. It's like almost from like a 70s variety show.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mom themes. Yeah, I guess you got to give it a one for the runner.
One for the runner.
I'll go one for the runner as well.
I'm going to give it two because I thought that runner was pretty funny. She made me laugh, even though she does not sound old enough to be his mother.
I thought that too. I was like, I thought that too.
And it's like, is she Jewish? Is she? I'm not sure. Is she like weird Italian? Like, what is going on here?
You know, it's the future. You know, accents are going to like change.
That's true. They're going to be fluid. Makes sense.
All right. Our next category, pearl clutching. Is there any pearl clutching in this?
There's a little bit. Like there's the, like with Chris Tucker, like, oh, Mr. Whatever. Yeah. Like there's the people around him are sort of slightly scandalized. Mm. People at the opera, you know, when they're attacked.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely some pearl clutching. This has never happened at the opera.
I came here for a tragedy, not death.
I love the scene when he's holding the gun and like his hand is shaking and then he ends up shooting it by accident. Pearl clutching. Probably the opera scene would be the most pearl clutchy. Maybe a four, since that opera scene's pretty iconic.
Sure. A four.
I'll go four as well for the opera.
Four. I'll give it a four. Give it an average of four.
Wow.
Wow, it worked out.
See how math works.
All right, this is the last of the bonus categories. Quips. How quippy is this movie?
I think Bruce Willis can be a little quippy with people, but definitely Ruby Rod does a lot of the quips. And I guess Gary Oldman is too. He gives a little quips.
He gets some sass in there.
Yeah.
Multipass. Quippy.
Chicken good.
Big bada boom. Great quips.
I'll give it a seven for quips.
A seven.
I'm trying to think of like, what are there any quips that you could?
I only know two languages, English and bad English. Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's a couple. And like the priest being like, you're a monster, Zorg, and Zorg going, I know. To me it's like there's not like iconic lines that are popping out to me, so I'll give it
you only saw this once.
Yeah, but sometimes you see certain movies and you're like, that's a line I remember. Like you're gonna
remember. I quote the movie, but it's not sassy moments. It is multipass, chicken good. Corbin Dallas multipass.
Yeah, I'll give it.
And then come on, my man. Just very Chris Tucker screaming, thank you. Yeah.
I'll give it a three for quips.
Three. I'll give it a four for multipass, giving it a 4.67. All right, now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories, we're back to scoring from 0 to 100. These are more larger umbrella categories, you'll see.
Okay.
So the first one, how would you rate The Fifth Element in homoeroticism?
Oh, high up there.
I think so. Like there's no actual homoerotic, but the whole movie just has that energy. It has a pretty.
It
like,
has like a gender pushing gender fluidity.
Feels like
boundaries.
You're at a club in New York.
Yeah. Like you could kind of try it with anybody, and they would be down.
Right.
So I'm gonna give it a 100.
100. What are the most homoerotic movie you've ever seen?
I guess that's not right. Okay. Wait. Hold on. I'm going to give it 80.
Yeah, I think it's like the tone of it, the mood of it is homoerotic, even though there's no actual literal homoeroticism in it. So for that, I'll give it a 70.
70. I think I'm going to split the difference and give it a 75. I think just being dressed by Jean-Paul Gaultier makes everyone like, oh, gay people are here, fun.
Yeah.
Give an average of 75. Right. All right, next one. I think it'll do well with this. Over-the-top wardrobe.
That's 100.
Yeah,
I think it's 100.
I think we can
constant.
Go. Yeah, we can go 100 on this one.
Oh, we haven't even mentioned the guy who wears the photo of a hallway as a hat.
Oh, right.
And he is really
the mugger, right?
The mugger.
He's got an energy.
He's wild. Oh, what about Hell on Heels? It's too late now, but the cat.
Oh,
she was feisty.
She was really cute.
She was.
That apartment is too small for a cat, though, don't you think?
Cats cats don't need a lot of space. And I had a great window.
Yeah.
With lots of cars going by.
Yeah.
They would love that.
She had a
TV.
She had her four cigarettes.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. It's got, I'm also going to give it 100, giving it 100 in Over the Top Wardrobe, tying it with The Wizard of Oz and The Apple. Seeing a trend. All right. Finally, the last of the iconic categories, Camp Factor. How campy is The Fifth Element?
I think it's up there. I would give it a 75.
75.
Yeah, it's pretty campy. You've got like an opera aria that then turns into like a club mix. You've got everything that Chris Tucker's wearing. You've got, I mean, the wardrobe itself across the board. I mean, it's not quite, the movie that I kept thinking about a lot while watching this was Flash Gordon. And I feel Flash Gordon is like a little campier just because of what was technically available to them. So it feels at the time. So it feels campier in that way. But I will give this an 88.
It also has Queen songs.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll give this an 88.
88. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. A movie opening very seriously until you see the credit. And Luke Perry casting usual heavy Tiny Lister as the president. Cigarette machines. Everything everyone wears. Comedic fainting. Telling the boss who's furious with you about the girl you just fell in love with. Learning everything about human history except its language. Morphing technology is not as mind-blowing as it used to be. Villains with clearly villainous names like Zorg. Round windows, a gadget-filled desk going haywire, a cockroach with a radar dish on its back, winning a trip on a cruise, funny music during a comedy scene. Lilo sounds like Bjork. Everything Gary Oldman does in this movie, playing sexy music over the reveal of a freezing and terrified woman just because she's soaking wet. Cross-cutting between a spaceship launch and sex is so French, even for the French. And finally, a diva dramatically dying on stage is probably her life's wish. So I'll give it a, I think I'll give it 90. I mean, it's mostly fun and silly and dopey. That's like the calling card for this movie. And it looks great. Give an average of 84.33, which is 0.33 points higher than Conan the Barbarian.
Okay.
All right. Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate. We all agree either it gets the bonus or it doesn't. So it's like a yes or no thing we all decide together.
All right. So a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does The Fifth Element have it?
It does have the one moment where the priest asks when all the guys come to the door if they're getting married.
That's nice.
That's true.
And it
that
does seem like he would be willing.
Doesn't seem scandalized by it.
It's not meant to be a joke.
It's also a great showcase for Jean-Paul Gaultier.
That's true.
He was a gay man. I haven't double checked that, but I'm pretty sure.
He is, yes.
Let's pull
He did a costume several of Madonna's tours. I think he's gay.
Truth or Dare? Did he do the cones? The breast cones?
Yes, which was for the Blind Ambition tour, which was featured on Truth or Dare, yes.
There you go.
I think the problem is that there's no one who's a homosexual character.
That is true.
And so in that way, I don't think it is negative or in any way homophobic.
There wasn't in Wizard of Oz either.
That is true.
And we gave it the bonus.
We did in that one, yes. But that also, Wizard of Oz, you could say, you know, gave birth to the phrase Friends of Judy. Friends of Dorothy, excuse me.
Oh, yes. Boy, John.
And Friends of Judy, which became.
At the time, a lot of the characters like push what the gender norms were. Like to think of Chris Tucker as primarily probably a stand-up comedian at the time and then like going into that role. Mm-hmm. I would say yes. I think that
I think you could for like just the clothes alone. I think it like is a great showcase.
So Jessica, you're saying yes?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no. Mark, what are you going to say?
I think I'm going to say yes. This might be crazy, but I think I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I'm not angry that it's yes for the record, but I just want you to, but sure.
Imagine if you were angry, John.
You know what? This has been a very interesting experiment, and this will be the last episode of this podcast.
Okay. We learned
it does get the bonus.
It gets the bonus. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, even though there is a boat.
There's a boat trip.
Oh, that is true.
But it is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done. That is all the categories.
We've done it. So now that we're through it all, Jessica, how do you think it did?
I think it did even better than I expected.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,704.50 points, The Fifth Element has scored 2,104.17, giving it a percentage of 77.80, making it the 14th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born, but gayer than Terms of Endearment.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, you made the top 20. In a way,
A Star Was Born with Mila Jovovich's career.
That is very true.
That makes, and there's a lot of Terms of Endearment. That's how it saves the world. Mm-hmm. Because I love you. We didn't say baby, I guess, but.
I'm happy with that. Wait, what are other ones around it?
Well, it's higher than Mommy Dearest, Funny Girl, Cats, Edward Scissorhands. Yep.
Wow. Higher than Mommy Dearest and Cats.
Yeah. Well, wow. they don't do well in camp, but they don't do well in homoeroticism.
Skin, like there's no.
Yeah.
That's fair.
There's no eye candy and Mommy Dearest.
Even Mommy Dearest doesn't go crazy like with the clothes or like the visuals so much, but the camp is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Mommy Dearest is kind of hot, but.
And also, okay.
We should have had you bring it in. All right.
Mommy Dearest has a 76.90 and Fifth Element has a 77.80. So it's like, this is like a sliver.
Yeah. Okay.
So things like a bonus, a 15% bonus can really make
a difference.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it wasn't Boat Trip.
Yeah, that was close.
That was really good to torpedo you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jess, you've been such a delight.
So much fun.
A lot of people have been clamoring. I'm glad someone finally brought it in. And I'm even more happy it was you.
Yay. Yay. So much fun.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
You mentioned, the Dropout stuff. I'm doing the vodcast with Reika on there. So if you want to check that out, Erotic Clubhouse. Yeah, you could go watch that. Yeah, we make up fan fictions like on the spot of like audience will have suggestions. So we've written like a Frasier erotica and an NSYNC erotica.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the Frasier one between Frasier and Niles?
No, we did we did Niles and Daphne in her quote unquote fat years.
Oh yeah, yeah,
okay. Yeah. So a very voluptuous, gorgeous Daphne, and she was allowed to be fat and beautiful, and not shamed for having a baby as an actress and then coming back.
And like at work, they're calling making jokes about you.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone really loved and appreciated her body.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That sounds great. Well, you've been a wonderful guest.
That's so much fun.
Thank you so much. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens at Two Old TWO Old Queens. You can follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, so you can email us if you have any questions or thoughts, things we got wrong, things you want to correct us on at twooldqueens@gmail.com. We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself for the summer, for your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds go to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. And finally, another way you can support the podcast is we have a Patreon. It's called Two Old Queens, the Retirement Plan. So for $5 a month, you get an extra episode of us talking about different series and projects and fun stuff like that. So,
that's it. We'll see you next week. We do know the movie for next week.
Yes.
And it is Point Break. Keeping it. Talk about blondes and action. Here we go.
Keep it going.
John's never seen it. It'll be surfs up, Johnny. I do not think that is a quote from the movie.
But we'll find out.
It's better for you. We'll see you. All right. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.